One of the biggest shake-ups to Australia's superannuation system has passed federal parliament, and it means people will automatically be tied to one account for their whole working life. The Morrison government says the new law will help those who largely ignore their super accounts, and it's claiming it'll save them $18 billion over a decade. To discuss the super package and the change in advice on the AstraZeneca vaccine, I spoke with the federal treasurer, Josh Frydenberg. Treasurer, the path to a full economic recovery depends on herd immunity and borders lifting. When will herd immunity be reached given this latest problem with the rollout?
Well, we are seeking to get as many people vaccinated as fast as possible. And as you know, we've taken the advice from ATAGI, the medical experts, that the AstraZeneca vaccine now should be confined to those who are 60 and over. That follows some of the challenges that we've seen in recent weeks and recent months. It's relatively consistent with what we've seen around the rest of the world, although in the United Kingdom, the AstraZeneca vaccine is available to those age 40 and over, in Korea, those age 30 and over, in Germany, those age 18 and over. But we've got more doses of the Pfizer vaccine coming on stream, and that will be available to people across the country. But we have seen now more than 6 million people get the jab, and that's a good thing.
Sorry, Treasurer, the substance of that question, when do you think we'll reach herd immunity?
Well, I'm not putting a specific date on that. What I'm saying is that we're trying to get as many people vaccinated as possible, bearing in mind some of the constraints that we have.
Yeah, and the constraints, is that now because Australia made AstraZeneca the backbone of its vaccine rollout, and given this rather conservative advice, that's what you seem to have just hinted at there, it's now become a major problem?
Well, it's a challenge that other countries are also facing. As you know, we reached an agreement with CSL to make the AstraZeneca vaccine here under licence. That's a natural advantage for Australia to be able to manufacture vaccines onshore, but we also sought access to other vaccines, including the Pfizer vaccine. We've got more than 2 million of those vaccines available. We'll have more than 3 million by the end of July available, and we're also getting access to other vaccines. So no one is understating the challenge here that is involved in vaccinating the population. But we have been very successful as a nation in suppressing the virus by following the medical advice that we have again done just yesterday.
Sure, but the longer Australia persists without having herd immunity and vaccinating everyone, there is a greater chance that a virus will take hold, one of these variants, and that could be a huge problem.
Well, we're still in the middle of the pandemic, and I think it's obvious that the threat to the recovery still remains. Outbreaks, as we've recently seen in Victoria, which leads to lockdowns, which dents confidence and hurts investment and ultimately costs jobs. So our ability to suppress the virus is absolutely key to the recovery, and important to that ability is that we roll out the vaccine as fast as possible, and that's what we're seeking to do. But Australia and Australians have been very successful in following the health regulations, in being able to contact, test and trace, and being able to isolate those cases where they exist, because we are expecting more outbreaks to occur over the course of this year.
Now, the jobs news yesterday was great, but wages are still pretty flat. Even the Reserve Bank governor sounded a little deflated by that yesterday, that businesses aren't yet prioritising wage rises. What is your advice to workers and bosses about boosting their pay?
Well, firstly, the Fair Work Commission just made a decision this week to boost the minimum wage by 2.5%, and Australia has the highest minimum wage anywhere in the world, according to the OECD. And I note that the Australian Industry Group and other employer groups were asking for a wage increase of just 1.1%. So the Fair Work Commission has made a large one.
Our time's limited, and the Governor yesterday seemed a little frustrated.
Well, what the Governor and the government are seeking to do is drive more jobs creation. And when you get more job creation, you get more competition for labour. And when you do that, you get more pressure on wages, upward pressure on wages. So yesterday's job numbers were important in a number of respects. The fact that we've got 115,000 new jobs being created last month, and the unemployment rate coming down to 5.1%, and 84,000 jobs being created since the end of JobKeeper, all of that is positive. But the fact that there is now more competition for labour will help put upward pressure on wages over time.
So in short, you're saying be patient.
Well, again, that's what our budget forecasts show is that wages increases over time.
Sure,
we've
but
also
what
had
are you
very
saying?
Low inflation
you're,
rates.
You're saying be patient.
I'm saying the government is doing everything we can to get more people into work and as a result to get more competition for labour, and that drives wages growth.
Just quickly, Parliament's passed changes to superannuation allowing accounts to be stapled to workers and follow them for their working careers. Critics say that this will trap millions of people into dud products, including super funds that were criticised by the Banking Royal Commission. What's your response?
Well, I'd listen to Super Consumers Australia, the body representing the consumers, who say that's a fantasy, that argument. They actually say that this was very important legislation that will help drive better returns for consumers and lower fees. These are the most significant changes to super, Sabra, since compulsory super came in 1992. We were able to pass them through the Parliament in the face of fierce opposition from our political opponents, the unions, and indeed many of the industry funds. And what they'll do is offer people more choice, because they'll be able to see the performance of their fund, both in terms of fees and returns online. Underperforming funds will be held to account, and if they perform below a certain benchmark, they'll have to inform their members, and if they keep performing under the benchmark, then they won't be able to take new members. And then with respect to the stapling of funds, that was a recommendation of the Productivity Commission, and right now there are more than 10 million unwanted and unneeded funds, and many people have low balances in those funds, and they get eaten away by the superannuation fees and charges. So this is all about helping consumers, advancing their interests by getting them lower fees and better returns.
We're out of time. Thanks, Treasurer.
My pleasure.